2020 meeting for the Homedale Township Public Schools. Statement is hereby made that adequate notice of this meeting was given by posting written notice prominently on the bulletin board in the office of the Board of Education, the district's website, and sent to the four district schools. The mailing and/or hand delivery of said notice to designated newspapers, Asbury Park Press, The Independent, the PLG, PSG, PSA, PTSO, SAB presidents, and student representatives to the board, and filing with the clerk of Homedale Township Police Headquarters and Public Library. Meetings of the board are open to the public, and all members of the community should feel free to participate. There will be two opportunities for the public to speak. The first is at the beginning of the meeting for agenda items only, and the second is at the end for other items. Any individual desiring to speak shall give his or her name, address, and the group, if any, that is represented. The presentation shall be as brief as possible, but no more than 3 minutes per individual. There will be certain matters that may be brought before the board that cannot be immediately addressed in public. Such matters shall be referred by the president to a board committee and/or to superintendent for consideration and/or resolution. The board vests in its president or other presiding officer authority to terminate the remarks of any individual she deems it in the best interest of those present to do so. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn.
Here.
Mr. Sokol.
Here.
Mr. Ruddy is absent. Mrs. DeMonte.
Here.
Mrs. Collins.
Here.
Say here.
Yeah.
She's here.
Mr. Rowe.
Here.
Mr. Foster.
Here.
Mr. Hammer.
Here.
Mrs. Abansky.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Can you all please rise for a flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So tonight at this meeting, we have a little bit of normalcy brought to our board meetings. We're going to have a nice presentation. There won't be cake like normal, but tonight we'd like to recognize our teachers and educational services professionals of the year. Dr. Seitz.
Thank you. It really is a pleasure to have our guests here this evening so they can be recognized. They represent really all of Homedale staff, and in the short time I've been here, I know and represent excellence in education. So on behalf of the administration, I congratulate you, and most importantly, I thank you for what you do for our students each and every day. And with that, I'll turn the program over to our principals with Mr. Howard to begin recognizing our recipients this evening.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Mr. Howard, Ord Howard. I'm the principal of Village Elementary School. I'm given the great honor and privilege of introducing our two recipients this year. First for our Teacher of the Year, who is Ms. Randy Kerner. Ask Randy, could she come up here? Stand right here, please. Right, with so many great teachers and professionals at Village, to be given the distinction of Teacher of the Year is no small feat. Our Teacher of the Year in question has made a powerful impact on her students, their parents, and her fellow colleagues alike. If you're a teacher fortunate enough to be around this young lady, I'm sure you heard phrases like be a kindness ninja, fry yay, and don't stop until you're proud. Randy puts 150% into making sure her young scholars not only learn, but they have fun doing it. I think it was best stated by a parent who sent me an email praising Ms. Kerner for all of her hard work and effort, especially during the pandemic. They went on to say, when the pandemic hit, it became even more apparent that Ms. Kerner is such a special teacher in person. She went well above and beyond to keep all the kids engaged, not only with her, but also with her other group. She would schedule Zoom meetings with smaller groups of kids just so that they could stay connected with each other in a smaller setting. She would schedule special events and sessions on her own time in the evenings to have fun events for kids, like setting up forts while she reads them stories. On our son's birthday, she had all the kids do special things for him and had a virtual birthday party on Zoom. She even had her husband drop off 2 cupcakes at our house. So when you think about Teacher of the Year, this is the type of person that should come to mind. Every kid should be as lucky to say that they were once one of Kerner's learners. So congratulations to Village Teacher of the Year, Ms. Randy Kerner. Now, Village Educational Services Professional of the Year, I'd like to call up Ms. Christine Anderson. Like I stated earlier, we are fortunate to have so many great teachers and staff members at Village School. Ms. Anderson, named Educational Services Professional of the Year, has been a dedicated Homedale paraprofessional for over 20 years. Her colleagues have said that anyone who is assigned to her is in store for a great experience with a truly kind and loving person. When I looked through the nomination form trying to find some things to say about Chris, adjectives such as versatile, flexible, compassionate, patient, respectful, and outstanding were consistently used to describe her. One colleague even said her job experience has been strengthened just by looking at her work ethic. As a principal, it's always nice to read positive things about people in my building, especially those who I don't get the opportunity to speak to on a daily basis. Probably the comment that continues to stick out in my mind is when one of her colleagues said that one of the things they love about Chris is that the way she somehow manages to make the job of a para look easy when God knows it's not. With like 5 exclamation points by it that she said that. So I'd like to say congratulations to Mrs. Chris Anderson, Educational Services Professional of the Year for Village School. Thank you. With that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Marino from Indian Hill. Oh, Ms. Vitale, her husband's going to kill me.
He always does that. It's fine. Good evening, everyone. I also have the privilege of honoring 2 outstanding candidates from Indian Hill School. Our Teacher of the Year for this year is Mrs. Robin Archinaco. If Robin, you can come up here and join me, please. Robin is both an amazing teacher and an amazing person. She always strives to do what's best for kids, often spending countless hours outside of school preparing lessons and giving feedback to students. Robin knows how to reach each individual student both academically and emotionally. She works incredibly well with interventionists, co-teachers, and classroom monitors. What makes Robin stand out the most is that even being a veteran teacher, she's constantly trying new things or collaborating with other staff to grow professionally. She never shies away from learning a new tool or method, and whatever she creates, she always shares with her colleagues. Students are drawn to her love of literacy, and they benefit tremendously from the passion as they too are motivated by it. She embraces each new literacy initiative with professionalism and enthusiasm. Robin's an inspiration to her colleagues as well as her students, and we cannot think of anyone more deserving of this award. Please join me in recognizing and congratulating one of Indian Hill's finest, Ms. Robin Archinaco. And now for our Educational Services Professional of the Year, can you please join me in welcoming Heidi O'Rourke up to the microphone. I cannot say enough positive things about Heidi. Heidi is without a doubt an invaluable resource to our front office, our school, and our community. Heidi goes above and beyond to assist any and all staff members, students, parents, parent groups, and the list goes on and on. She's friendly, flexible, polite, amazingly efficient, always informative, and willing to do whatever is assigned to her or needed. Although she's the principal's secretary, she's my secretary, she always offers support and assistance to any other administrator that works in her building, and she does it with a smile. She's compassionate to the students' needs when they enter the office and advocates for any teacher needs or concerns. She does her job efficiently and effectively, and she never has a complaint or a negative thing to say about anyone or anything. She's very well informed regarding building needs, policies, and procedures, and she's extremely tech savvy. One of her greatest qualities is her work ethic. She maintains confidentiality and works very closely with our office team. She contributes to the positive climate and family vibe that exists in our main office. Heidi truly values her position and the impact that she has on our front office and our school. She's an absolute pleasure to work with and one of the greatest secretaries that I've ever had the pleasure to work with. I cannot think of anyone else more deserving of this award than Heidi. And truly speaking from personal experience, she is a gem of all gems. She is definitely Indian Hills' finest. Congratulations, Heidi O'Rourke. And now I'd like to introduce Mr. Loughran for SATS.
Just don't call me late for dinner and we're all good. It's my pleasure this evening to introduce our Educational Services Professional of the Year, Ms. Giovanna Bazzario. If she would please come on up. I don't think I could do justice to describing how invaluable Giovanna is to our office. Pretty much everything you heard about Ms. O'Rourke, I could say the same thing about Ms. Bazzario. But I'll share with you an interesting anecdote that at least I find interesting is that in the 2.5 years I've been there, now our third year starting together, substitutes go out of their way. They love to work at SATS. They say, Ms. Bazzario gets everything ready for us, everything. She even has little Hershey's Kisses ready for us. It's a little touch of what it means to be in a big, large, extended, happy, and positive family. Ms. Bazzario is a key cog in all of that. People come to her with all sorts of problems. You can imagine what they would be. She's dependable, positive, so spirited for the school and for the staff. She cares, truly cares about everyone, even me. It's amazing, so I really appreciate that. I don't know how we would run our school without her. Mr. Bazzario, congratulations, Giovanna, on being the Educational Services Professional of the Year.
Thank you.
And for our Teacher of the Year, for her classes that she teaches with great academic rigor and for the foresight that she shows in introducing exciting new electives to the students, last year forensics, this year in environmental science course, for the tireless efforts that she puts in the dedicated service and helping to our culture and school community to understand the value of service through her work with Bridges and other local organizations, for the spirit that she shows for her colleagues and being a major cog in the Sunshine Committee and keeping that running, and that's a big deal, trust me, when you come to a family like SATS, and for her all-around great attitude, positive spirit, super, super teacher, one of the key cogs of our family. It's my pleasure to introduce our Teacher of the Year, Miss Melissa Barth.
Congratulations.
Congratulations again to Melissa and to Giovanna. At this time, I'll turn the microphone over to Mr. Brian Scalacci for the high school award recipients.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Brian Scalacci, the principal at Holmdel High School. We did get the height order correct this evening, so we brought it down each time each of the principals came up, so that was great. Before I kick off with our Educators of the Year, just want to say I've had the opportunity to work directly with a number of the Teachers of the Year that are in this room and Educational Services Professionals of the Year that are in this room. And just looking around, like we're pretty lucky to be in this district and working with all these fine people. So congratulations to everybody tonight on a job very, very well done. So for the high school, our Ed Services Professional of the Year was not able to join us this evening, but just a few words to say about Mrs. Kate Phelps. In the time that I've worked with this educator, it is obvious that she dedicates herself to children on a whole other level. It's not only the students she works with, but the families and staff as well that help create a team effort that is good for all. When I first got to HHS, I had only heard stories of her caring and commitment for our students because she was on leave at the time that I joined the team. But now, having worked with her directly over the last couple of years, it is very obvious to me that Kate Phelps is a spectacular guidance counselor for staff, families, and of course our students, and is truly deserving of being our HHS Educational Services Professional of the Year. Congratulations to Mrs. Phelps. And now to throw off the height a little bit, I'm going to ask Mr. DeNovellis to come on up, stand next or behind or somewhere. Mr. DeNovellis. Great teachers are defined in a lot of ways. One is the way that they share their craft and knowledge of the curriculum they teach. Another is the way that they connect with students. This particular great teacher also adds working with extracurricular groups, other building staff, colleagues, friends, administrators, and the community as a whole to help our students succeed. Additionally, even for a big, huge spirit guy like myself, Mr. DeNovellis brings school spirit to a whole other level. He does this by capturing and quite often creating many of our school events and sharing them out with our entire Homedale community. Congratulations to Brian DeNovellis, Mr. D, for being the HHS Teacher of the Year. And with that, I'll pass it on. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Congratulations on the awards. It's so nice to see everyone here tonight and all the kids. And I wish you nothing but a wonderful evening. I mean, you're more than happy to stay. We just don't have cake. So, but if you'd like to go now, that's fine too. But again, thank you for everything that you did last year during an unprecedented time to earn your awards that you were recognized for today. Committee reports. We don't have a HIB, right? Oh no, superintendent report. Sorry, I turned the page. Students, you're up. Welcome back to the board meetings. It's good to see you.
Hi. I hope you guys had a great summer. Can we give a report now?
Sorry?
Can we give a report now?
You could. Okay. Did you say do the report? I can. Yes. Okay. Yes. Please go ahead.
So I hope everyone had a great summer. The senior class is currently painting their parking spots. We started last week and we'll be continuing for the next couple of weeks. Many seniors have actually completed their spots already. So if you would like to go see them, you could just go over to the high school parking lot. And we hope this remains a tradition for years to come. The senior and sophomore classes have been selling Homedale masks with great success. The masks are still available for purchase at aquarosedesigns.com. And we are all excited for the start of fall sports this season, and we would like to wish all our fall athletes good luck.
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone had a great summer. My name is Harun Sheikh, and I will be representing the junior class this year. I would like to thank the board for giving me this opportunity, and I'm looking forward to serving this position. We started off to a great school year, and everyone seems to be settled well into their remote or hybrid learning situation, and we are all excited for a great year ahead. On to events, the junior class will be selling the Homedale Sherpa sale, so please be on the lookout for that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Dr. Seitz, you're up. You're on the bottom.
All
I find this mask and my glasses don't go together very well, so I'm trying to make some adjustment so it fits better. First of all, good evening and thank you for this opportunity. I do want to speak briefly about the reopening, which started for students on September 14th. I think the opening in all aspects exceeded our expectations, whether it be transportation, the work of our support staff, and certainly the work of our teachers has been extraordinary, and we all should be very proud and thankful that these folks went as far as they could and set aside some anxiety and concerns, in some cases concerns about COVID-19, to come here and provide an excellent program for our students. Since then, we've been on the AB schedule with the blue team and the silver team, and about 20% of our students are at home fully virtual, and it's been going well. But I also want to emphasize that it is a challenge for our teachers and for our students due to the fact that the transition was rapid with very little opportunity for staff development, professional development, and practice. But we are adhering to our approved curriculum. Obviously, in a four-hour day, we're not going to be able to do what we do in a full day, but we are doing the best we can. And it is my hope that it continues. It is my hope that we continue to dodge the COVID-19 bullet, which is out there. We learn each and every day of the school district here and there throughout the state who have to go full virtual because of the impact of COVID-19. And the reason I'm hopeful here is that the adherence to the guidelines, whether it be the wearing of the mask or the 6-foot spacing or the exceptional job that our custodial and maintenance staff are doing to keep the buildings clean and the air changing, really contributes to the fact that we've been lucky so far and hope that continues. Now, we have had some opportunity to look to the future, because I think this is going to be with us for an entire school year. Hopefully no longer than that, but I think realistically this school year will be in the hybrid of some form and virtual. So once we opened, and I do have to take a moment just to thank our principals who are here this evening, a lot goes into reopening a school, and we have spoken a lot about the excellent work of our support staff, the custodians, maintenance, the contractors, the completion of the referendum projects, the installation of the HVAC, air filtration systems, and so forth and so on. But whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, when you're a building principal, everything that goes on in that building falls on your shoulders. And I can tell you from experience, being a vice principal at a high school for a number of years, and then as a principal at high school for a number of more years, it's, if you think back at what you do, you can't believe you're doing it. It's that kind of job. I don't care what it is, if the buses are running late, if the students are running late, if the food isn't what it should be, if the textbooks aren't where they are, if the technology isn't working, if the lighting isn't working, if the HVAC isn't working, at the high school, if the athletics aren't working, it all goes back to the principal. And these principals that are here tonight, and I really thank them for being here tonight, have done an extraordinary job. Was it challenging? Absolutely. Did they have a lot of concerns? Absolutely. But as a team, we worked together to work through them, and it has worked out exceptionally well. And while all these other people have contributed, I think it's really, really important that on a night like tonight, we're recognizing the excellence of our teachers and our support staff. We also take a moment to recognize the great job that these four people have done in support of our schools, and in support of our students, and in support of our teachers and support staff. So I thank you on behalf of our students and our community for a job well done. And that concludes my superintendent's report.
Yes, Thank you so much. And I'd like to echo the comments of Dr. Seitz about our principals. I know it's been a lot and it's been extraordinary times, but I think I am so pleased at how everything is going so smoothly. So, and I think, like I said, on the first day of school, or when I first came here and I got to say a few words, I think Homedale is going to set itself apart, not surprisingly, from the rest of the world and the state, and we are. So again, thank you so much for everything that you're doing. It really makes our job easier as board when things are going smoothly. And I know it's gonna continue that way. Committee reports. Who would like to go first? Terrence.
Good evening. Two brief items for labor and personnel. During the subcommittee meeting, we had a rather thorough discussion about a list of various personnel items which are presented for the board's consideration. It's recommendations from the superintendent's office for action this evening. It's item number one. The subcommittee also discussed in detail various continued elements, remaining elements of the contract, the successor agreement with the Homedale Township Education Association, who we partner with. For folks that are familiar with this process, this is a partnership. Partners can be adversarial without being adversaries. And so you work through the various details as you work forward, work toward a successor agreement for the benefit of the teachers, the staff, the parents, the students, the collective community. So we continue in that regard, and we continue that discussion in executive session a little bit earlier here today in consultation with our township attorney and all the various board members as a full board to look toward concluding the discussions of a successor agreement for the HTEA and move forward to a positive development in the near future. And that would conclude the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Terrence. Any questions? Brian, I think you're tagged this month. Or is it your turn? Sorry.
No worries. Buildings, grounds, and safety met on September 24th at 6:30. The items on the agenda this evening are 48 through 50 for our committee. Things we talked about at the beginning are obviously the 2020 referendum in regards to the site renovations at Village and Indian Hill. Finalizing and closing out the project is pending based on the completion of the punch list and the receipt of the completed closeout package. With regards to the exterior site additions and renovations and the interior alterations at SATS and the high school, it's very exciting. It's all wrapping up with the exception of the media center and the HVAC of the old gym at the high school. The other areas of the big package two throughout the complex, including the new entrance, the canopy at the high school, along with the PE wing, the link, the new main office at SATS, the renovated science labs, the installation of the SATS lockers, and the landscaping throughout have been completed. Inspections have been conducted by the local building department, after which a certificate of occupancy was issued for each. As regard to the readiness plan for the district, the retro commissioning of the HVAC equipment will now include that at the high school and the middle school complex. And then just to go over things that have already been put in place prior to school opening, the implementation of the bipolar ionization filtration was completed, the installation of the walkthrough infrared body temperature detectors that you saw outside, those are in place, the antimicrobial tape throughout the district will apply to all door handles, push bars, railings, and areas that are handled on a regular basis, and finally, all of the outdoor playground equipment has gone through a rigorous cleaning. The third item we talked about is transportation update. Several changes had to be made just to accommodate the increased vehicle and foot traffic due to parent drop-offs and the need to stagger student traffic entering the buildings for the temperature taking. After the first week, the district received some requests from families who would like to start riding the bus, which we hope is believed because of the increased confidence in our safety measures. The last thing we talked about, or the fourth thing we talked about, was our sporting events and planning. The athletic department will adhere to the all executive orders and the shore conference rules. Student athletes are temperature screened before each game in practice by the coaches, the athletic trainer, and the supervisor of athletics. If a student athlete reads two consecutive temperature readings above 100.4 or greater, he or she will be escorted to the isolation area. And then after 10 minutes, they will be screened again. Finally, the last thing we discussed was the parking lot painting. The painting of the parking lot spots has occurred at the high school, which was a student-run initiative project. Our next meeting scheduled is October 22nd. Anybody have any questions?
I just want to make one quick comment. I have to say that in the 10 years that I've been on the school board, I do not believe we had a smoother opening in regards to our buses ever. And the fact that this very smooth opening took place during probably the most challenging time in the history of this district is even doubly amazing. So we have to give credit to Laura Carducci for her amazing work, the amazing work done by our administrators to make this a very smooth start. And let's hope that the start of the school is a harbinger for a really smooth year, despite all the challenges that we're currently facing.
Yes, it was nice not to have any issues with the dog bus. Right, Brian? That's how we used to start every September board meeting about the dog bus in the past, but we don't have that issue anymore. Jamie, you're up.
Okay, these are the notes of the curriculum instruction / special services committee. The committee met remotely on September 16th at 6:30. Under new business, the committee discussed its concerns over possible staffing issues due to teachers going remote under 504 plan, under approved 504 plans, and concerns about remote teaching of students in special services classes. The committee shared its concerns over the canceling of the September SAT. The committee was presented with a list of colleges where our most recent graduates are attending. We discussed possible academic goals for the new school year. We talked about the new SAT course and found out that it would be divided into two classes taught by two different teachers, one for math and one for English. Under old business, the committee shared its concerns about certain modules and Naviance that might not be being utilized. And some concerns that we had about Naviance and perhaps that it might be introduced to students earlier in high school. We also discussed our ongoing commitment to promote academic integrity in the district and provide consequences for breaches in academic integrity. And that's it.
Well, any questions? Eileen has a question.
So I was curious if there was any further discussion about the extending of the school day or the extending of days to get more educational time for the students.
That's a very good question. And I think a question that many people in our community would like to have answered. I will begin first by making sure our community understands that the direction that this board gave us and the goal of this board is to open our schools to the greatest degree possible, with the ultimate goal being to have a full-time in-person program and as soon as possible. As you may recall, when we released and approved the plan to reopen on August 12th, we discussed there was a framework that it would be evolving, and we're at a point now that we're open and things are running reasonably well, that we need to look at what our next step is in order to achieve the board's stated goal of full-time in-person instruction. I would love to be able to sit here tonight and tell you I've got the solution. I don't. What I can tell you is that we've been working on various plans and options that we are aware of and that are out there in the state and across the nation. to see if we can find a model or adopt a model that will allow us to move towards that goal, whether it's in steps or whether it's all at once. In doing that research and doing that development, we are finding some successes. We think we have some ideas on how we can increase our capacity. We think we have some good ideas on how we can provide our students with a safe lunch. And most importantly, we believe we have some ideas and solutions on how we can continue to maintain a safe, open environment so that our staff and our students are safe, especially from COVID-19. When we do this and how we do this is still up in the air, but I would be hopeful that we have some firm idea before Thanksgiving as to what we're going to do, what we may do. Obviously, between now and then, once we put a plan together and we see that it's feasible and that it's within the contractual restraints of the district with the associations that we have, we would begin a public information educational process. We would restart our restart committees so that parents and teachers and to a certain degree students would have input on what the final plan looks like. But I can certainly state with great confidence that the administration is working towards the goal, and I'm not sure how soon we'll get there or if we'll get there, but there are some good ideas out there, and we're looking for the best available so we can apply them here, and as I said, as necessary, adjust them to fit the needs of Homedale and the needs of our students. Thank you.
Anyone else? Parents?
Board President, if I may, I just want to share that I look forward to being fully open all week long in the safest possible way. And I think it's interesting, and it's interesting and important to note, I think an opportunity after B&G Chair Briamonte had mentioned the list of various items that some folks have never heard of before, like bipolar ionization and techniques and products and programs that have shown from the educational community, the folks that I've spoken to from the employment side and also from various associations, Homedale is the platinum standard of public schools in the state of New Jersey in how to reopen your schools. The pandemic was a telegraphed punch in late March. Any school that is struggling to open now, they should look to their school boards and their administration, because we started talking about this topic with Chairman Briamonte and her Buildings and Grounds Subcommittee, with Peter Reddy, back in April, back in early May, and then in May, and then in June, and then in July, and working with administration, started ordering products and services as contracts and communicating with the various folks. We've opened safely, we've opened securely, and I think everyone shares the commitment to opening fully. So I just wanted to point out that the work, it's hard to overestimate the work of various subcommittees that are not, it's not front and center, and all the hours and time that's involved in partnering with the stakeholders that include the staff and the unions that represent the staff to make sure everything is moving forward. But you're sitting in a building which in many respects, the air is cleaner than in many buildings, and frankly, in many homes, when you get through all of the technology that's put in place here. And that was critical. So look to Homedale, other school districts, and what the standard is, because it is right here. And we're all looking forward to going back to a regular schedule, full day, and enjoying the educational system as it's meant to be. So I just wanted to thank Chair Briamonte and also other member of the Buildings and Grounds Committee, Peter Reddy. Thank you, Board President.
I think if I could just piggyback on that, through all of what Terrence pointed out, which are all extraordinary achievements for the district, is the fact that it even manages to overshadow probably the most extraordinary achievement of all, and that is the completion of a $40 million renovation project that is adding new classes, new educational programs, new safety features for protecting our students and our staff, new athletic fields and enhanced athletic fields. This project was probably, well, I would say it was the largest public project done in this town in the century, certainly the largest public project for the school district in about 50 years. And it was done in such a wonderful, seamless manner. And the reason for that is because of the close cooperation that took place between the board and the administration and our outside vendors. Eileen and Pete were both members, chairs actually, of the Building and Grounds Committee during this process. Their work should also be recognized on that area as well. And I certainly hope folks get a chance to come tomorrow as we do a ribbon cutting ceremony to acknowledge this really amazing project.
And if I may, Board President, also my classmate Elizabeth Urbanski is also on the committee. In this Zoom world, you know, it moves pretty quickly. So Elizabeth Urbanski, thank you so much.
No, I mean, I do appreciate all of your time because, I mean, I think since March, since when we closed down, all our committee meetings and even the special meetings we had as a board, we're very focused on, okay, how do we get back open? And all the preparation that went into that, and all the contributions every individual board member provided throughout that process was critical to its opening. And Mike and your team, and Ken and Steve, and our maintenance and grounds people, I mean, I'm so thankful for them, you know, pushing through that whole entire process and getting our schools ready because, again, like, you said platinum? Yeah, we are the platinum standard, and it's really nice that not only do we do that in academics, but now, you know, in how quickly we have pivoted to respond to this COVID world is admirable. Maybe we should just do something at the School Boards Association. No, we're not going. Yeah, maybe. Mike's not going. You want to go to School Boards? No, the virtual anyway this year. It's virtual.
And next year we'll have cake.
One day, there'll be cake
again. One day, there will be cake again.
Brian, you're up. You have budget and finance, right?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. Like everybody's comments are saying, thank you guys very much, especially you guys in the back there. Echo Lee and Vicky's sentiments. Thank you very much. We're certainly appreciative to be back. And we owe a lot to you guys, so thank you. These are the meeting notes from Budget and Finance Committee, September 24th. Ms. Biamonte already took care of many of these, which is awesome. So we spoke about a parent group donation. So the committee reviewed the proposed donation and the applicable resolution will be included on this evening's agenda. We discussed the 2019-2020 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report audit update. The auditors will begin performing field work for this audit on October 5th, and the committee will receive an update regarding the status at the October committee meeting. And that committee meeting is October 22nd with a time to be determined. That is all.
Thanks, Brian. Any questions? Seeing none. At this point in the meeting, we have questions or comments from the public on action items only. I have questions from that were submitted, but they're not on action items, I don't think. So I will wait. Any questions? Good. Who is it? Sean. Is it Mr. Dowd? Hi, Mr. Dowd.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello. Sean T. Dowd, 12 Primrose Court, sometimes 36 Crawford's Corner Road. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I had reached out to the board back in June. After listening to both the committee meeting in May 27th, specifically talking about the plan towards the end of the marking period to figure out how we're going to do honors placement, et cetera, without the state test, et cetera. Some issues were raised that I was just concerned about being a classroom teacher, about waiving and just letting anybody go in. And I know I'm not 100% familiar with New Jersey law, but I know you do have a right to waive into any class as long as you sign off, and I know we've updated that policy over a couple of years. This kind of ties into agenda item number six, that I know it, you know, when things make the board agenda, it usually means it's probably going to be voted on and voted on positively. And I know some folks on social media today were talking about it. And again, unfortunately,
Mr. Dowd, is this about, I don't mean to interrupt you, but is this about the AP tests?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not on the, it was pulled from the agenda.
Okay, I was looking at today's agenda then.
It was a late change because it's kind of tied into the program of studies. So it's going to go to committee and be discussed in conjunction with at committee on that topic.
Okay, and I, like I said, I know I just on social media today, as people looked at the board agenda, it was coming to the attention of some parents, and there was some confusion, and people didn't realize it was for 21-22 school year. And obviously, Ms. Flynn, you're familiar with my concerns as a classroom teacher and the learning versus the, and I get, you know, as a homeowner and as a taxpayer, I'd love to see my home value go up. And that kind of was the thrust of my point about the AP class. My biggest concern is just the learning. We have more and more kids opting and waving into AP and honors classes. And unfortunately, a lot of that comes down from the colleges. They want a robust application, which forces students maybe to kind of aspire to some honors in AP classes, which is all great. But then it adds a heck of a lot of pressure to not only the students and the parents, but also the teachers as they try to handhold the kids who are really stressed out. And a lot of our kids are taking more than one AP class. The flip side to that, as I've expressed to the board, is also the plan to pay for the tests, which is all well and good, but to the tune of maybe upwards of $60,000 estimated on what we paid for AP tests last year, what families paid. And I just think that's a nice chunk of money when students are opting in to take this class. And I just think, you know, all well and good to ask kids to challenge themselves and take rigorous courses. But I've seen what happens to a lot of kids on the junior and senior level, especially that take AP courses, and they're burned out. And unfortunately now it's a dollar game. A lot of these colleges are not accepting the credit. They're only taking a certain number of AP courses, so that the $100 investment for some of them might be good, but for many others just doesn't wind up paying off, and they just wind up burned out before they go to the college level. So there's other points that I talked to the board members about in my original post, but I just wanted to kind of make that clear and hope to hear maybe some more discussion about that. And, you know, I don't necessarily agree with the waiting. I think if you sit in a class like that and take the class and deal with the rigor and accept your grade, that not being able to get the weighted credit isn't necessarily fair if you toughed it out. And that's, again, just my opinion, but I know I've spoken to a lot of parents that maybe feel the same way. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Hello, Pete Reddy. Hello. Anyone else? Steve? Okay. Seeing none, can I have a motion for items 1 through 8, 11 to 14, 17 to 54?
Move.
Second. Discussion? Seeing none? Yeah. Everything okay? Seeing none, can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn.
1 second, Mike. Apologize, 1 second.
I'll read it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go back to discussion. I'm going to just note for the board that we are going to be adding a robotics advisor to the Schedule B at the high school. Thomas, I don't know how to say his last name, Buccino, will be added to item number 42 for our list of Schedule Bs. Anyone have any questions about that? Eileen?
No, but I'm actually happy to see that. I know that there was someone who reached out to me to see if there was a club advisor for robotics, and I know that's going to help accompany with the new classes and courses and the robotics room we have, so that's really nice to hear. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for getting that on the agenda, Eileen. I appreciate it.
We've come a long way on that robotics, too. I mean, I remember.
I mean, I'm just, like, even if you said before, Mike, like, we are still accomplishing so much under challenging circumstances. The Homebuild 2020, the new, like everything that we plan to achieve this year is moving forward, and it's pretty extraordinary.
I think we should consider as our new motto, no excuses, but isn't that it? I don't know if that gene company uses that, but we should be no excuses.
Okay, have a roll call, Mike.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes.
Mr. Soffer.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, abstain on number 17.
Mrs. Brigamonte.
Yes.
Mrs. Collins.
Yes.
Mr. Wall.
Yes.
Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Item number 9. Joe, do you mind reading that donation from the PSA?
Item number 9, acceptance of non-monetary donation from the Village School Parent Support Association, PSA. Resolved that the board accept with gratitude a non-monetary donation from PSA value not to exceed $6,566.25 as follows. Essentially, there's seat sacks for $1,566.25 and 1,000 cloth face coverings at $5,000.
Great, thank you. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, cover roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes, thank you so much.
Mr. Sacco.
Yes.
Mr. Erd.
Yes.
Mrs. Brigamonte.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Collins.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Foster.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, thank you.
Motion passes. Thank you.
I will be temporarily taking over the chair for a few moments, and we'll move over to item 10, acceptance of monetary donation from a SATS Parents Group, PSG. Brian, you want to read that one for us?
Certainly. The acceptance of monetary donation from WR SATS Parent Support Group. Resolved that the board accept with gratitude a monetary donation from the WR SATS Parent Support Group in the amount of $10,000 to be used towards the Homedale High School class of 2024 activities.
Do I have a motion?
Moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Sopple.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Brigamonte.
Yes, thank you so much.
Mrs. Collins.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Roll.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Foster.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, thank you.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Item number 15 is acceptance of retirement art teacher at the SATS School and High School. Elizabeth, do you mind reading that one?
Acceptance of retirement art teacher W.R. SATS School High School. Whereas Ms. Joan Lagoa has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since September 1st, 2008, and whereas Ms. Lagoa has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency, and whereas Ms. Lagoa has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and whereas Ms. Lagoa has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective November 1st, 2020. I therefore be it resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accept Ms. Lagoa's retirement with deep gratitude for Ms. Lagoa's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Ms. Lagoa a best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Sacco.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Brigamonte.
Yes, enjoy your retirement.
Mrs. Collins?
Yes, best wishes to you.
Mr. Roll?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Foster?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes, enjoy your retirement.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes, congratulations.
Motion passes, congratulations.
Item number 16 is acceptance of retirement special education monitor Indian Hill School. Whereas Ms. Josephine Fanchulo has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since September 1st, 2007. And whereas Ms. Fanchulo has faithfully executed duties with skill and competency. And whereas Ms. Fanchulo has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents. And whereas Ms. Fanchulo has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective September 1st, 2020, now therefore be it resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accepts Ms. Fanchulo's retirement with deep gratitude for Ms. Fanchulo's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Ms. Fanchulo its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement. Do I have a motion?
Move. Second.
Any discussion? Can we roll call, please?
Mr. Sokol?
Yes.
Mr. Reddy?
Yes.
Mrs. Diamante?
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Collins?
Yes, best of luck.
Mr. Roll?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Foster?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes, congratulations.
Motion passes, congratulations.
We're now moving to old business. Does anyone have any old business for the board?
I don't know if this would be old business or new business.
Give it a shot, Elizabeth, we'll see.
It's somebody's business. Maybe the administration could explain a little bit about the schedule for SATs in the high school, where we have 1 through 4 and then 5 through 8, because it seems like we keep having these big clusters of 5 through 8 days. And why isn't it alternating?
Yes, when looking at the SAT schedule in particular, you have to really look at the schedule over the course of 4 weeks. Because of the way things panned out, it's actually a 4-week cycle, which is very unusual. And while it does appear initially that there's more five to eight classes, at the end of 4 weeks, at the end of a month, it balances out to the same. And again, that was done as the best way to bring the students back in the hybrid model. Again, we are looking at different models right now where that could go away. And again, if we get to that point, we'll certainly share with the board and the teachers and support staff and the community before making any decision. But yeah, we understand the concern there, and it does seem like there's more at the beginning, which there is, and it's something we're trying to resolve.
Any additional old business? Go ahead, Terry. Is it old business or new business?
It's old business because it's old policy, really. Just as a reminder, as we get into the tail end of the presidential election, we have a policy, various policies that prohibit conduct that is inconsistent with the curriculum and the standards of the classroom. We've had previous issues in the past, so I just wanted to state that, you know, biology should not also be Biden, science should not also be the Supreme Court, technology should not also be Trump, and that we remind the entire staff of the old policies that are in effect, that we teach our classes and we follow the guidance, and we are educating, and we're not indoctrinating, we're educating, and to focus on that as it gets into a higher temperature state throughout the nation. I think it's extremely important, so I want to put it on the record and just ask administration to remind the old policy still exists, and it's very relevant in the next period of time.
Thank you, Terrence. Any other old business? We'll move to new business. Is there any new business? Eileen?
Yeah, so
trying to figure out a way that the board could possibly, or the administration, be creative surrounding our football games. Understandably, there are some restrictions on the number of tickets that can be given out, and we have, of course, the football team, the band, the pep band, the cheer, and the dance teams that are all looking to get their family members there. Maybe any consideration to live stream the football games so that all of our students and staff could be part of it?
We have an award-winning video department here. Maybe something Brian could come up with something, some magic. He is a teacher of the year now, as I understand.
Well, he'll be filming tomorrow night at the dedication ceremony. Yes, we are trying to do that. The problem is with the role of the network, as I understand it, we don't have a source down there. So that's the drawback to live streaming it. So we are looking at it. We are working on it. We just don't have the solution yet.
Thank you.
Is there so I understand there was 400 tickets going to the high school or to Homedale, 100 going to visitor. I'm not sure if Brian knows yet. If those 400 don't get used, are we going to repurpose them or try to give them to the SATS kids or, you know, parents at large? Because I got to believe there's a lot of parents at large that have been, you know, fans for years. And I bet you they probably show up to the game because they probably have no clue that they're not allowed to come to the game. I mean, you know, you remember like Pops and everyone else would come to every game every year. How are we going to deal with that? Are we just going to turn them away at the gate, or are we going to say, okay, you have a mask, come on in, here's, you know, where you sit? And because they're coming.
Again, nothing is easy in 2020. We talked this through, and we looked at what other people were doing in our conference, and this was, we thought, appropriate and in line with what other teams are doing. There were other options. We felt this was fair. In relationship to your question regarding if we have leftover tickets, we do have, I think it's two distribution dates, Thursday and Friday of next week. Should we have any left over, we can certainly make an announcement that they're available and probably release them on a first-come, first-served basis. I don't see any other way to do it in that short notice. And after we do it next week for the first time, we'll get a feel for what's going on, and we can certainly make adjustments after that if necessary.
The limitation is because of the 500 limitation from the governor. Is that correct? So that's correct, right?
That's right, we're capped at 500.
And is it on a per event basis or is it on a per location basis? A question, what I'm trying to find out is it because you need the people in the stands and limited to 500, or is it the football game itself is the event and limited to 500, and you could have other people standing outside the fence line or something like that that is outside of the event that could watch it?
Again, as I read it, and Paul could probably jump in as well, I view it, my understanding is that it's within the arena, within the field itself. If somebody wanted to stand outside, I would think they'd be able to.
Okay.
I mean, we can encourage social distancing, we can encourage wearing the mask, but I understand what you're saying. If somebody wanted to stand outside the football field, that would not be, in my mind, counted as part of the 500, so we'd be in compliance.
And then I know we can fit more than 500 people in various different areas around that thing, either it's on the hill, kind of walking down there, and people can social distance pretty easily with that. Is there any news from the governor's office that they're going to open that limitation to like 1,000 or something like that, where we could actually open up the amount at some future date? Do we know any indication of that?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. I'm sorry. So
the governor is limiting it to 500.
Yeah, they haven't announced. Joe, you asked whether or not the governor's office is looking to expand it.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. Paul, have you?
No. Because I guess I understand trying to limit it if you have a limited area, but there's tons of space around that field, in and around the field, for a lot of people to safely you know what I'm saying? So if they maintain social distancing, I think there should be some alternatives to if the governor does limit or does open it up a little bit for us to actually invite and have more people at the field.
So it sounds to me, Lee, that essentially, and this actually, when I think of it visually, it seems kind of goofy, but essentially there's an area that has the 500 capacity, but there is area outside of that area that people could easily watch the game that wouldn't fall under the 500 limitation guidelines. So is there a way that for the game, we can actually mark off those two areas so that if we have overflow, people know there's a place they could go, which would not put us in conflict with the state regulations?
I don't think there's some way we can get that information out there, whether it be a sign or just ticket takers advising people. I think we can probably make that accommodation.
I mean, I'm thinking even as simple as just, you know, police tape or whatever, you know, to just to mark off this area here on the hill or behind one of the end zones is not part of the right footprint and therefore doesn't fall within the 500 limitation.
Yeah, I'm thinking we can do that.
Something to talk about.
We'll talk with Brian and Matt tomorrow and see what we can work out.
Is there any other new business for the board?
That game, just FYI, it's Friday night at 7 o'clock. So it's not next week, it's this week. It's 48 hours from now.
Go Hornets. I think at this moment, then we will turn to questions or comments from the public. You have some new business? Go ahead.
I do.
But your microphone wasn't on.
I know.
I wouldn't know that you were.
Elizabeth has reminded me that we have to hold a retreat at some point, so we need to talk about that. I just want to say it on the record. I just mentioned the retreat. And so that we could establish goals, you know, I know we don't want to, there's a lot going on. So at some point we need to talk about that. Oh, okay. No.
So now we'll move to questions or comments from the public. Do we have any questions or comments?
Yes. I have some questions or comments from the public, because some have been emailed to me. And I think Dr. Seitz might have answered some of these questions, but I'm going to ask them. This is from Brittany Malardi. Her question is, does Village Elementary have a phase plan in place to go back to school full time, or at least begin moving in that direction? And if so, what's the plan? Many, if not, of all of our neighboring towns have plans in place. I feel like there's a lot of schools, like she does mention Little Silver, but I feel like Little Silver keeps closing.
I'm telling you, I'm having a terrible time hearing tonight. I don't know if it's the echoes or what. I didn't hear the question.
Oh, okay.
The acoustics are a little weird tonight. It's so
I'll
weird.
Take mine. Do we have a phase plan in place to go back to school full time? Or at least beginning moving in that direction? If so, what is the plan? And she says there are some neighboring towns that have plans in place. Do you know of any of those?
Well, let me begin by, we are, as I said earlier, trying to develop a plan, right plans, to bring our students back full time as soon as possible. I'm not going to discuss those plans for the very simple reason that it will generate a couple thousand questions and accompanying emails that we won't be able to answer. Because as soon as you throw one idea out there, all in, you know, good intentions, it just becomes overwhelming. And it may be that's something we're not going to do, or maybe something that we don't know the answer to at this point. What I can tell you is that we are looking to go to a full day, full classes, and we'll release a plan or plans as soon as they are ready, but we're just not in a position to do this. And I had one meeting today where this issue surfaced, and all of a sudden we were down trying to answer questions in the weeds. You know, what about this? What about that? And it's kind of pointless at this point until we really have a framework. Once we have the framework, then we need to release it to the public, the staff, students, and get their input on how we should tweak it or other options. But right now, we just don't have the plan at a point where it can be really discussed in public. It would be, I think, very damaging to do that at this time.
Okay. And Ms. Mancini asked a similar question. What's the benchmark? Are we trying to meet to go to 5 days a week? And that you don't feel comfortable telling you, do you have a benchmark in place as to what?
The benchmark is full-time, 5 days a week for the balance of the school year. That's the benchmark. Between where we are now and there, there might be a step or two in there where it's not 5 days a week or 180 days a year, but that certainly is the goal, and that's the benchmark, and that's what we're striving to achieve, absolutely.
Yeah, and on that same topic, we had another comment from Ms. Kayat, who said, similarly, like a comment, thankfully, it seems as though this pandemic has not been overly aggressive in causing children harm, and I hope that trend continues. Knowing this now, is it possible to have the children that opt in for the hybrid to attend school more often or full-time? I think that the harm of this blended learning is far greater than the risk of COVID. Children, especially young kids, thrive and grow with in-person learning. Their social skills develop much faster with in-person learning. If proper social distancing and sanitation are observed, why can't the children be in school more often, and when can this be reassessed? And her focus is on the village school. So, okay. Same answer.
Again, I think it's worth repeating. We are looking at the ultimate goal of bringing students back full-time, every day, 5 days a week for 180 school days. Right now, we're not there. There could be a step between where we are and full-time, where, let's say, instead of bringing the kids in, I'm making up numbers now, 30% for in-person instruction a week, we bump it up to 70 or 80%. That's another model we're looking at. We're just not at the point of being able to push those models out so people can begin to react to them. And as I said, when we get to that point, we will make it public. We will reconvene our restart committees, which are at the building level and also the district level, and then have those groups really do their due diligence and find out where the gaps are, where the problems are, what's good about the plan, and hopefully we can make tweaks and then implement it. Capacity is an issue, and I think something that was said in that comment was very important. We have to move in a way with caution, because if we aren't 100% positive that the next step we make ensures the safety and welfare of our students, then we can't do it. You know, I'd rather go with the hybrid as it stands, rather than expose our students and our staff to greater risk of becoming ill. So we are moving very cautiously. We're still in the process of upgrading our facilities in some areas so they're even more safer than they are now. All these things combine at this time. And again, as soon as we have a model or two, I anticipate the models could be different and likely will be different for the elementary schools versus the complex versus SACS and the high school. But the goal at all four levels is exactly the same. 4 days, 4 weeks, 180 days.
And then we received an email from Irene Solovey about the fact that the present schedule results in a decrease of actual instruction time, and how are we going to remedy that? And she talks about algebra. She said, like last year, a person who took algebra has over 7,600 minutes of algebra instruction. This year, it's about 5,400, which is a difference of 2,200. So the question is, how are we going to rectify that if it's not meeting the curriculum? And how do we expect our kids to move on to the next level of math while missing a quarter of yearly instruction time?
Well, obviously, that's the problem with the entire situation we're dealing with. I don't know of anybody, unless they have a lot of capacity in their school systems, that have been able to bring all their students in every day. The fact that we can't do that, it's obvious that in a four-hour day, you can't do what you did in a seven-hour day. So we're asking our teachers to accomplish as much as they can, and we're going to have to take a look as we proceed through the school year and see, again, if we go full-time, that helps catch up on the time we're losing. But at this point, the reality is, across the state and in many parts of the country, we're simply not going to have the full school year that we've had in the past. And obviously, adjustments will have to be made in future years, especially in 21-22, where we may have to look at algebra if we're going full-time. And we like to pick on algebra because it's an easy subject to talk about. We may have to look at what Algebra 1 looks like in 21-22 and recognize that in 2021, the full content of the course was not achieved. So in saying that, I would just shift a little bit to the fact that this is why testing is so important. As I think you may know, we're doing MAPS testing in this time period, and the board has brought in a wonderful program called Lincoln, which is an assessment program as well. Both can be formative in nature and not necessarily, but can be summative in nature, but they're more valuable to us as formative assessments where we can benchmark where the students are and set objectives for their student growth over the course of this school year. And once we conclude the school year, we'll have a good assessment of where our students are, and then we can make adjustments to the 21-22 program as necessary. There's always a degree of regression that occurs, especially in the summer. Maybe we can somehow extend the school year virtually. So those options are out there. We don't have them in place yet. But obviously, this is going to be a challenge, and at this point, we have not found a solution to squeezing 4 days of instruction into 4 hours of instruction. We can't extend the school week. We can't extend the school day beyond what we have. And we all have kind of acknowledged that virtual is very challenging. But again, those options are out there. We're hoping that we can find solutions. But as of right now, if we were to make a statement today, we would say that the chances are great that we cannot complete the entire Algebra 1 program in this COVID hybrid environment. It's just the reality of the situation we're in.
I believe we do have one person on Zoom, Hannah Friedman, who has her hand up. So, Hannah, do you have a question for the board?
Hi, yes, Hannah Friedman, 6 Ardmore Place in Homedale. I was just wondering about the progress of the ad hoc committee on, I don't know what it was, ended up being named, but I don't know, and fighting discrimination.
Committee.
The diversity committee.
Yeah.
Thank you, diversity committee. I don't think I heard them give an update before. If
they've given an update.
I can give some information.
Go ahead, Mike.
I can give a little update on that. The ad hoc committee met at the end of August 31st to be exact. It was a preliminary meeting to, more than anything, give us a sense of where we are as a district, what we've accomplished in the last, I'd say, 5 years, and where we are looking to go on the topics of bias, prejudice, and discrimination. One of the things that we decided as a committee was to task our administrators, in particular Dr. Charney, and of course Dr. Seitz, to come back with a report in November, or sometime in November, not specifically, but probably in time for the November meeting. And what we had asked this report to cover is taking a look at the different software programs like Hibster to improve our HIB process, that's the harassment, intimidation, and bullying statute, to develop a report and presentation, one or the other, on the district's current activities on this topic, including what we're doing with our curriculum and co-curriculum programs around diversity, bias, and discrimination. We want to identify where and how bias and discrimination is being addressed in our curriculum, and I think it's important to point out that on that topic, there are certain requirements that the state imposes on our curriculum, and as a committee, we all were in agreement that we want to exceed these state requirements when it comes to the topic of bias and discrimination as it is incorporated in our curriculum. We also want to search and identify for an outside consultant who can assist the district in surveying students, parents, and staff so we have data in hand to help determine stakeholder experiences, incidences, and perceptions that are connected with bias and discrimination. As a committee, we will probably be meeting sometime next month just to see how those tasks are moving along. And again, as I mentioned, we expect to have a update from our administration sometime in November to see where we are as we tackle this this particular issue. Hopefully that gives you a thorough update, Hannah, as well as an update for the community.
Thank you. That was awesome. And that all sounds really exciting. Just wondering if there was anything that all sounds like it's very long term and what probably wouldn't be implemented any time before the next school year. Is there anything being thought about, you know, trying?
Well, I think it's important to, Hannah, I think it's important to keep in mind that we're not at ground zero when it comes to having elements in our curriculum that deal with the issues of diversity, bias, and discrimination. Over the last 5 years or so in particular, there's been a concerted effort by the administration to incorporate as part of social studies, as part of English, as part of other subjects, elements and units that touch upon issues of bias, discrimination, and diversity. So, you know, while you are asking, are we doing anything new? Right now, maybe we don't have anything new yet, but I have to tell you that it has been an ongoing effort of progress on this front. And as a district, I feel very comfortable with the efforts that we've done in incorporating diversity, understanding, and training within the program.
Hey, Mike, there was a class last year, and I know Bill knows of the class on Mysteries in History, I believe it's called. I'm pretty sure.
Intolerance that class. That.
Right, but I mean, there's also Mysteries in History. Last year was first year, of course, was offered, and I know it touches on major events throughout this nation's history and the world's history, literally all about, you know, diversity and, you know, all the things that are part of that. I mean, I know it's been I think it's seventh or eighth graders take it. I know my son took it last year, and you know, touched upon everything from, you know, obviously Nazi Germany to the stuff from Rwanda and all the different atrocities that have gone across the world over the past bunch of years. So, I mean, right there, that's definitely a class that opens kids' eyes, obviously outside of Homedale, outside of New Jersey, outside of the United States, you know, across the country or the world.
You know, I'm a very big believer, and I'm actually going to sanitize the comment, and I will close this very quickly. I'm getting signs to leave the stage. A comment by Frank Zappa, who once said that you go to school to have fun, you go to a library to learn. And I've always been a big believer that with many of these topics, the experience that you have in school should really be a gateway and to create interest, and that as you become interested in other cultures and the diversity around you, you should explore it on your own as well as have guidance from the programs we have in a school district.
Mike, I just also want to add one other thing, that we did have a bias and diversity expert and trainer come in for our administrative staff and counseling staff just this past year.
Do we have any other, do you see anyone else back there? I can't see if there's anyone else.
That's it.
Okay, cool. Okay. Well, we're now going to move into executive session. I don't believe there's any items for us to come back.
We do have to come back, yes.
Okay, so we will. Yeah.
So we're going to go into executive session. I just would like to remind everyone that tomorrow is our ribbon cutting ceremony at 7 p.m. At Homedale High School. Please stop by. Maybe come by after you've watched the girls' soccer game at Rogie Field on the brand new field. The varsity will be on Rogie and the JV will be on the backfield. Everything looks lovely. The congratulations to our tennis team who are representing our brand new court so well. They won again today, I just saw on Twitter. So we're off to a great season. Okay. So tomorrow, 7 p.m., Homedale 2020 ribbon cutting. It will be quick, as you know. I'm not going to waste time. Mike is going to say a few comments, and he's going to keep it.
I think we've timed it at about 1 minute and 45
Maybe, yeah.
seconds, if that much. It's going to be very quick.
All right. Can I have a motion to go into closed session to
motion.
Second. To discuss to discuss items that are protected by law due to the fact that they're personnel and student-related matters and attorney-client privilege.
Motion?
Yes.
Move.
Second. Okay. Show of hands, closed session. Thank you, everyone. We will be coming back, not via Zoom, though, but we will be back to take action items on a few personnel items. Good night, everyone.